God is so good, isn't he? You know, one of the, amen, we love truth. Loving truth is something that we always wanted to know in our whole life. We always want to know who we are, why we're here, where we're going, what's up, what's the purpose of all of this. So in this is, we are to be trained. Jesus said, come and learn from me. In other words, be trained up. The word talks about being trained up so we can train to reign. Because there's much more after this. You know, so many times we get so caught up in just this that we lose sight of there's so much more after this. This is just like a drop in an ocean, a drop of water in the ocean. There's so much more after this that we can't get so caught up in just this. And the area that God is not religious. He never created a religious system. He created a kingdom. And one of the things the enemy turns it into is a religious system. So then people battle one another over their belief systems. And what it is it's an arena where this kingdom, it's an eternal kingdom that has penetrated a temporary realm to rescue those who are from the eternal kingdom that have been trapped here. This is Egypt. This is the world of bondage. It produces nothing but death. There isn't anything good in this world but God's presence. Other than that, there isn't anything good. Nothing worth living for. That's why he came, so that he can give us something to live for. But so many times we get caught up in the arena. We spend more time fulfilling the life of this arena instead of fulfilling the eternal life right here. And it grieves the Spirit of God. It grieves the heart of God. You know, I want to share a vision before I even get going, and I was going to wait till later, but I just led to share it now. I had a vision, and I saw a person, and they were carrying something that was, it almost looked like a quilt that was rolled up, but it was glistering of gold, and it was brilliant and bright, and it was just sparkling, and the person was carrying it, and I was like, well, what are you showing me, Lord? He said, what they're carrying is my will. I said, wow. And I was almost excited, but I could sense that God wasn't excited. He said, they're carriers of my will, but they're not performers of my will. And man, I felt the grieving of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it just grieved me. I thought, my goodness. And when I saw the heart of the person, it was hard. But everything in it was nothing but, there was an arena of pride. There was the arena of self-survival. All of those things were on the heart. And the will of God wasn't being performed, but it was being carried. So there was a form of godliness, but the will of God wasn't being performed. And it was so grieving to the Father. So grieving. But this, I mean, I'm telling you, it was the most beautiful rolled up glycerine of gold that I saw. And I realized that his will is so, so precious. So precious. But there's something else that he even looks at. It may sound strange, but just as precious and even sometimes more precious. It's the most precious thing that you and I have. It's called free will. And so many times we take it for granted that we have a free will of our own. And it's one of the gifts of God that has been given to me and you, a free will to choose. That's what his image and likeness is in that free will. That's who he is. And we were created out of love, but we are created with a free will till we can choose to follow or not follow. We can choose to perform his will or carry it, either way. But one of the things he shared was too many are carrying my will and not performing it. You know, this house it's called the True Ministries, but it's a house of truth. And in this, it's training. We've got to train. And God gives us tactics. He shows us what the enemy's doing. He shows us the hearts of his people. He shows us the deception. He shows us his glory. He shows us his love. But we must be trained up because it's a fight. It's a war. And the war continues. And many people lay their swords down. They lay their will, the will of God down, and pick up their own will and go back into survival mode instead of surrender mode. They go back into compromise, complacency. And when things happen, they don't run to the presence of God. They run away from the presence of God. And if we keep running away from the presence of God, we can't get his will into our heart to perform it. Next Tuesday, I'm telling you, the Lord has been giving me something. I'm bringing a board in here, and I'm going to show, because it is powerful what he's given me that I've got to show. And the things that we've been talking about already, but there's got to be a picture brought forth of what really freedom is about. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? So there's something that God is checking. He's checking our spiritual performance. What's he checking? Spiritual performance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 1, would you read it with me? Finally then, brethren, we what? Urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to what? Please God. In other words, it should abound more and more. There should be so much of a sensitivity in our life that no matter what we're doing, that always should be for us. Am I pleasing God or am I displeasing him? Am I pleasing myself or am I pleasing God? Am I looking at more pleasure and entertainment and amusement than I am in God's presence? What am I doing? Verse 2. For you know that, you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Now, here's the will of God. What does it say? Your what? Your sanctification. Why? Because without sanctification, you cannot perform the will of God. Does everybody get it? Without sanctification, without being separated, without being entangled in the affairs of the world, without the area of the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, you cannot perform the will of God. You'll be a carrier of the will and never perform it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to what? Possess his own vessel in what? Sanctification and honor. In other words, you should know your own boundaries. You should know what pleases God, what displeases God. Verse 5, not in what? Passion of what? Lust. Lust is an overwhelming desire to fulfill the flesh. Like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to what? Uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Holiness. Without sanctification, there cannot be performance of God's will. Amen? And Leviticus chapter 22. I truly believe, and I've been saying this for a while, that, you know, the Word says that the road to destruction is wide. But the road that's to eternity is narrow. And I really believe it's getting narrower. I believe it's crushing. It's getting tighter. And Leviticus 22 and verse 24. Would you read it with me, please? You shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut, nor shall you make any offering of them in your land. Nor from a foreigner's hand shall you offer any of these as the bread of your God, because their corruption is in them and defects are in them. They shall not be accepted on your behalf. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day and thereafter it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now remember, fire is associated with covenant. Amen? Whether it is a cow or a ewe, do not kill both her and her young on the same day. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your what? Your own free will. I'm telling you, is the most precious gift that God has given me and you. And again, besides, we know the Holy Spirit is a precious gift. We know life itself is a precious gift. But in the gift of life, your free will is the most precious gift God has given in creation. Does everybody see that? So you and I have a what? We have a free will. Wow. Let's go a little further. Verse 30. On the same day it shall be eaten, you shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall what? Not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who what? sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage, and to be your God. I am the Lord. So understand, sanctification is the most important thing, because you and I cannot perform the will of God without sanctification. That's all we'll do is carry it. Amen. It is the most precious gift from God. From the beginning, as a part of life and humanity and in angelic creation, even angels have a free will. Psalm 11. In verse 1, hallelujah. Let's speak this psalm together, please. Is everybody there? In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Hello, secretly. See, sometimes you don't even know you've been shot. You'll see the fruit of it. Sometimes others will see the fruit of it first before you will. But what happens is there's the exchange. The will of God that was now being performed is now being carried. Verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the what? Sons of men. So God is testing to see whether we are performing his will or carrying it. Verse 5. Read it with me. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous and he loves righteousness. His countenance upholds the upright. Well, if his countenance is upholding the upright, it's because his countenance is being expressed because the performance of the will of God. His countenance will not be there without performing his will. There'll be a form of godliness, but his countenance, his presence really isn't there. Remember, the Lord tests us if we are performing his will or carrying it. In Psalm 7, in verse 9, there was more to that vision, but I can't share it yet. But there was so much more. But that was the most important thing, one of the things that the Lord wanted to be expressed today. Because there's too many of his children carrying that precious, glistening gold scroll of his will here and not here. In verse 9, would you read it with me? Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and what? Minds, which is also known as the spirit. My defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. So is God trying to get the wicked to turn back? Yeah. See, a person that's not performing the will of God is considered wicked. Has everybody got that? Doesn't mean he doesn't love us. Amen. What's he trying to do? Get them to turn back. So is one who carries the will of God considered wicked? That's a tough question, isn't it? Well, if you're not performing it, then you're considered wicked. So if you're carrying it and not performing it, you're wicked. Because even the devil knows the will of God. Amen. Even the demons know the will of God. Is everybody okay? Told you things were getting a little bit tighter, aren't they? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 12. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. Falsehood. Let me ask you this. Is manipulation considered falsehood? Yes. Verse 5. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. Violent dealing. Either somebody's dealing with the integrity of Christ or the will of self. See, in other words, in operations, in everything that we do, it must be according to the will of God and not the will of man, or it's considered wicked. That's why, remember, the word says that, and everything that we do will be tested by what? Fire. Fire is considered covenant. So if it's not according to covenant, it's going to burn. There's many people who are going to be successful in the wrong assignment. I'm going to realize, man, I did this for you, Lord. I did this for you. I did all of these things. And God said, I didn't ask you to do that. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Again, God tests our what? Performance. A lot of actors out there. A lot of actors having a form of godliness, but denying the power, which is the presence of God. Why? Because they're not accepting. Listen, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty is through the Holy Spirit, who is the carrier, who is the will of God, who is the breath of God. And that breath is supposed to be according in fellowship with your breath. So we're one. When he says become one, we're one breath. In John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Hallelujah. Carriers or performers? You know, in this tightening up of things, where God is tightening things up, when you can put things together, the purpose of trying to put things together is to become one. You know what I'm saying? And I believe God is really trying to tighten up so that we become one, so that the foolishness and the childish and the jealousy, the rages and the works of the flesh and all the other stuff and selfish ambitions and all of these other things begin to burn out and get crushed out. Because you know what? Time is really too short. You know, if we knew Jesus was coming tomorrow, if we had 24 hours left before the Lord returned, let me tell you, people's lives would be changed. They clean up their house. And they clean up their temple. Anything that they thought could be at all, it'd be gone. Well, the word says that we should be living like it's our last day. We should have fellowship with the Lord to where he's always before us. Amen? He's not long distance. He doesn't live in Alaska and we live here. In John 10 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a what? Robber. You know, there's other doctrines going out now that say you can enter heaven in another way. Yeah. There are pastors that are now saying it's okay to smoke pot. You know, even the Pope says it's okay, you can enter another way to heaven. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep what? Follow. That's called belief. He who believes what? Follows. For they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. Let me tell you, when you're close to the Lord, you know the difference between, and it's not always about the sound. It's about the impression. See, because when you're walking with the Lord, there's an impression. He's always impressing you. There isn't a word sometimes. You just know. Amen? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. In other words, you know, man, that ain't right. But so quickly we ignore it. That ain't right. Nah, that's okay. I'm doing it for God. Oh, really? There it goes. So we're not performing the will of God. We're carrying it. You know, I always hear people use it, well, God knows my heart. Yes. And he does know our heart. The problem is, most of the time, we don't, because if his will isn't here, which is also his word, amen, there isn't anything to compare it with. Hallelujah. So then people will follow the voice of the stranger. But if we're close to the Lord in the word of abide, we're not going to follow the voice of the stranger. We're going to know. Amen? We're going to be in the area. Listen, God is a giver, not a taker. I hear people, well, the Lord took this from me. No, he didn't. He didn't take it from you. You allowed the enemy to take it from you. God is not a taker. He's a giver. Amen? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. Will what? Flee. You remember when Jesus went in and kicked over the tables? Amen? He made a whip, didn't he? And at a temple. And he kicked over the tables, right? Remember? What was he called it? He said, this place has become a what? Den of what? Thieves. A den of thieves. Those who aren't performing the will of God, were they? Amen? He said, flee from them, for they will flee from them, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Wow. You know, one of the things is we all follow the voice of the stranger. Amen. So we should know the difference between the voice of the stranger and the voice of God in everything we do. But because we have a free will, that precious gift of God, He will not interfere with your choice or what you're going to hear or what you're going to listen to or what you're going to obey. But He will always try to lead you and myself into the right direction. Amen? Let's go a little further. In verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which He spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to what? Steal. He's a taker. And to what? Kill. And to what? Destroy. Now, do you want to hang around with someone that's out to steal, kill, and destroy? No. And if you do and approve of it, then you'll be judged just as way they are. Look at what he says. He says, I have come that they may what? Have life. And that they may have it what? More abundantly. More abundantly. You know, people don't even realize that some of their problems is because of associations. Things they hear, the people they hang around with, things they're watching, associations, all things of the world, environment. Hallelujah. Now, verse 11. Let's read it. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Now, let me explain to you about the hireling. This is an individual that wants materialism. He said, so what God was warning us is there are shepherds and individuals that are going to materialism, and they're being sold out of their position and sold out of doing the will of God for materialism. Has everybody got that? He warns us of those things. He says, I don't know how to emphasize this. In ministry, how many all called it a ministry? Everyone. If you're in the kingdom of God, you're called a ministry. It doesn't matter whether you're up behind a pulpit or not. You're called a ministry wherever you are. It's got nothing to do with it. We're all called to be teachers. We're all ministers. We should be ministering to the Lord. No matter where you are, don't wait for anyone. If somebody's sick, you lay hands on them. You don't have to call the pastor or the church. Man, you go. You are the church out there. Amen? You go cast out a devil. If somebody's convulsing down there, don't call 911 first. Cast the spirit out first. Then call 911. So in this, if we're all called to ministry, right, then are we doing it as a job or are we doing it as a life? Amen. See, that's why the word says labor unto the Lord. This is not a job. It's not a job in the kingdom. It's a life. And God has specific functions for each and every one of us to fulfill so we're unified. So we can infiltrate the world system in multiple ways. But in everything we do is to bring glory to God, not to man. It's not to take from the kingdom, but give to the kingdom so the kingdom can expand. Amen? It's not to do things of dishonest gain. It's to do things in righteousness and integrity. In everything we do. Why? Because he's there. If he's not there, then his will isn't here. It's here. Amen? Oh, glory. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So they know one another, don't they? That's relationship. Again, this is the difference between religion and relationship. The first thing God wants you to know is him. Him. James 1. Spiritual performance, not spiritual actors. Those are the granolas, nutty and fruity. Self-willed. Amen? In James chapter 1 and verse 21, let's speak it. Therefore what? Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the what? Implanted word, which is what? Able to save your souls. So is God's will his word? Yes. But be doers of the word. So when he's asking you to be a doer of the word, is he asking you to be a doer of the will? In other words, you're to perform his will, aren't you? And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Amen? For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. In other words, he still lives by what he sees. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect liberty, the law, the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty is known as the law of the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. But he who what now? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continues. Everyone say continues. In it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. He'll be blessed. In other words, God is blessing him. How many only can bless yourself? Anybody can bless themselves. There are a lot of wealthy people out there. They work their butt off. Amen. They've got you know, worldly wisdom and so forth. They know how to do whatever, and they can make a lot of money. Anybody can make. You can go out and make a lot of money, but it doesn't mean it's God's will, does it? Amen. You can bless yourself. Amen. Is everybody okay? So if anyone among you thinks he's religious, hello, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is what? Useless. Useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and keep oneself what? Unspotted from what? The world. Why? Because the will of God will go from here to here. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. In verse 5 and 6, would you read it with me? Bondservants, be what? Obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to who? Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing, now look at this, grab hold of this, doing what? The will of God from where? The heart. There's a difference. When you're doing the will of God, if you're doing it from the heart, you're performing it. Other than that, you're just carrying it. Amen? Praise God. John chapter 5. Spiritual performance. Now, don't get me wrong. A person can use the will of God to gain. Even the unbelievers use the will of God to gain. Amen? They use God's integrity strategies, and they gain, but they're not doing it from the heart, are they? Amen. In John 5, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into what? Judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will what? Live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteousness, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In other words, he's judging according to the will of God, not according to the will of man or traditions. Amen? So everything he's doing, he's judging, he's comparing everything to whether it's of God's will or not. Everything, every decision, everything that we're doing, is this your will? Is this your will? Well, you will know. Why? Because our life is to perform the will of God, not carry it. Amen? So we judge according to the will of God, not according to the traditions of men. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his what? His will with what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may what? That you may what? Walk worthy. Why? Because we need to have his will with what? Wisdom and understanding. So that we can walk. Perform it. But it must come from where? The heart. His will is inside. Amen? It's inside of us. Performing. If we're carrying it outside, We're only carrying it. Amen? Praise God. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully what? Pleasing Him. Isn't that what we want to do? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with what? Joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Look at, He's delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and what? For Him. Did He create free will? Yes. Yeah. God doesn't want to force you to love Him. He wants you to have a choice to love Him. Amen? 1 John chapter 5. Actually, I think that's 1 John chapter 2. Yes, it is. 1 John chapter 2. Spiritual performance. God is testing. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Not who carries the will of God, but he who performs the will of God. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the what? Last hour. In other words, Antichrist, it is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist spirit will get an individual to stop performing the will of God. That's his job. Amen? Listen, the devil doesn't go after the unbeliever. He doesn't need to. He's got him already. He's going after the ones who are believers. What does it say? He shoots at the upright secretly. Those who are upright in heart, those are the believers that desire to do God's will. Amen? He's not after, he's already got them. So he's coming after you and I more than he is the unbeliever. He's already got the heathen. He's after me and you. What do you think these books and epistles are written to? They're written to the church. They're not written to unbelievers. All of these books are written to the body of Christ. Why? Because Paul and the apostles and John and all of them saw what was happening in the kingdom. Infiltration. He was exposing infiltration all the time. That's why he kept writing them letters. Man, you're being deceived. This is what's going on here. You're falling into sexual perversion. This, why are you allowing this? In some areas he said, man, I finally had to turn them over to Satan so that they can get saved. Because they just refused to. Oh, hallelujah. The Antichrist spirit. His purpose is to get an individual from performing the will of God to carrying the will of God. That's how we know it's the last hours. Verse 19, it says they what? They went out from us, but they were not of us. But they used to be of us, but they weren't of us anymore. Why? Because the spirit of Antichrist caused the individuals to stop performing the will of God and carry it and think it's okay. And it ain't. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing, man. From the Holy One, and you what? No. You know all things. You see it. You know what's getting ready to happen. You know it. How many times did you do something? You said, man, I knew that. I already knew it. What the heck did I do it for? But you know all things. John says, look, I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. In other words, the spirit of Antichrist doesn't tell the truth. It lies. And what's its purpose? To get a believer from performing the will of God to carry it. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son, let me ask you this. If you're no longer performing the will of God, are you denying the Son? Yeah. So if you're a carrier of the will of God, instead of performing the will of God, are you denying the Son? Yes. See, we got to begin to look how God sees things, not how we see things. This is how God sees things. And when we begin to see how God sees things, you'll get closer. He'll get closer to us. But if we stay in the arena to where how man sees things, there'll be a distance. He won't get close to you until you see the way he sees. Is everybody okay? Praise God. In verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, if you're going to abide, it means you're going to do the will. And this is the promise that he's promised us. What? Eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. Prevent you from performing the will of God till you start carrying the will of God. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you again. We should know. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there to counsel, correct, convict. You ever feel that slap in the back of the head? Yo. Maybe the kick in the butt. Oh. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You're abiding in his word, you're abiding in his will, you're abiding in his anointing. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, this is the arena of intent. Many people have good intentions. Amen? You can have good intentions, but doesn't mean you're doing the will of God with a good intention. Amen? We all had good intentions. When we were out in the world, we all had good intentions. Man, I felt like Robin Hood. I was a drug dealer, but I felt like Robin Hood. I felt like I was helping everyone. Didn't know I was killing everyone. Here, you want to feel better? But I was killing them. I was using people, allowing them to die and lose for my selfish gain. But what you sow is what you reap. Then I began to reap everything I sowed. Nobody gets away with outrunning, reaping. Nobody. Even believers. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the what? Latter. He will be a vessel for honor and what? Sanctified. If that person is sanctified unto God, is he going to perform God's will? Yes. And useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Hello. What did it say, pursue? Righteousness, right? Faith, love, peace. Nothing else. Amen? With those who what? Call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Why are those individuals performing the will of God or carrying it? Performing it. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And that they may what? Come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Having been taken captive by him to what? Do his will. Let me tell you. So, if you're not performing the will of God and you're carrying the will of God, then whose will are you doing? The will of the devil. Does everybody understand that? Amen. So, the individuals become captive. They're taken captive to perform the will of the enemy, not the will of God, even though they're carriers of the will of God. It's what you perform is what is the most important thing. It's not what you carry. Amen? Oh, Revelation chapter 2. That's why he says, be a doer. Is everybody understanding this? Is this helping anyone? Yeah. Why? God is testing us whether we're performing. Amen? And we want to please God, don't we? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it. Revelation chapter 2. Glory. Glorious. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus. Right. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven lampstands, golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience. And have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Well, you'd think that's a pretty good church. Nevertheless, I have this against you. Now, this is vitally important. This is where they begin to carry the will of God instead of perform it. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and what? Repent, which means turn. And do the what? Do what you were called first. What did God call you to do? See, many people have drifted from what they're supposed to do according to the will of God and begin to, instead of perform it, carry it. Amen? Or else I will come to you quickly and remove my lampstand, which is his presence, unless you what? Repent, turn, and get back to what you're supposed to do. Everyone knows what we're supposed to do. There's a part in us that we know we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do for the kingdom of God, not for yourself. This is not your will. This is his will. What are we supposed to do for God's kingdom? That's what that he's talking about. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Now some people, well, I'm supposed to get married, have a bunch of kids, and make a lot of money. That's not the will of the kingdom. Does everybody understand that? When we come to the will of the kingdom, it's what we are to do for the kingdom, not for ourselves. It's kingdom first in everything. Remember, we don't have a life. It's his life. So everything that we associate with and everything we do should be kingdom principle first. Kingdom first, kingdom first, kingdom first, kingdom first. Why? That's how you perform his will. If anything else is between you and kingdom business, then it's performing our own will. And if it's performing our own will, we begin to carry the will of God, and it's the will of the enemy that snares us. And where's the battle? Amen? That's where the deception comes. And that's what we're going to really talk about Tuesday. Hebrews 10, verse 26. Hebrews 10, verse 26. Is everybody there? For if we what? Sin what? Willfully. Well, let me tell you, because you got a free will, you can sin willfully. Sinning is the presence of evil. So when the presence of evil comes and influences you, what are they trying to do? Influence your will. Because they, listen, the demons know you have a free will. They know that we can change from 1 minute, from 1 second to the other, from the will of God to the will of Satan. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, we're not covered until we repent. Amen? But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Now we become an adversary. Why? Because if you're not performing the will of God, you become God's enemy. Amen? Verse 28. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and what? And insulted the Spirit of grace. Slam it and snap it. I don't want to be in that person's shoes. Ain't going to be much left of those shoes. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his... Who's he talking about? His own people. His own people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you went what? You endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both of by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who what? Were so treated. For you have had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves where? In heaven. See, they were willing to get, because they wanted to perform the will of God out of their hearts. Nothing else mattered. They didn't care about possessions. They didn't care about materialism. They didn't care about anything but performing the will of God. Verse 35, would you read it with me? Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, after you have performed the will of God, you may receive a promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who should draw back to perdition, but those who should believe in the saving of the soul. Spiritual performance. I think that's sufficient. We're either performers or carriers, one or the other. And God is testing his people. These words are for the believers, not for the unbeliever. Amen? And we need to search and examine ourselves out whether we're actually performing or carrying. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed to have revelation truth. Let this seed that's been imparted in us be protected by the blood of Christ. Let it grow into every part of our being that we may see, that we may hear, and that we may follow, and that we may examine ourselves, whether we're pleasing you or displeasing you, whether we are performers of your will or carriers of your will. And Lord, in any area that we are just carriers and not performers, we repent. If we've lost our first love and drifted from our first works, which you've asked us to do, Lord, we take this time and opportunity to ask for your forgiveness, your mercies, and grace so that you can reposition us to fulfill your will, perform your will in this realm, and bring you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.